Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs, refreshing, relevant, real.
So I want us to look at Acts chapter 8 this morning. This is the story of Philip, and I've mentioned him a little bit in our study. So Philip, how did Philip even become part of the picture? You remember? If you go back a few chapters in Acts, I think it's Acts chapter 7, 6, Acts chapter 6. There was the first fight in the church. It was a big one. The Grecian widows, okay, they weren't Jewish descent, they were Grecian, and they were upset because they were being overlooked in the widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. And this was very upsetting. It was a big issue within the early church. Did you know they had their problems? They did. And so they had a meeting, they met with the apostles, and they said, you know what? We're going to appoint 6 people to wait on tables. No, 7. I was just testing you on that. We're going to pick 7 people to help with these Grecian widows. And guess what? All these people had what kind of names? They all had Greek names, all right? So they were ministering to their own people. There was some wisdom there. So they choose 7 people. One was Stephen. They all had to be filled with the Holy Spirit to wait on tables. Isn't that cool? So one is Stephen. He would be stoned in chapter 7. At the hands of Paul, before Paul is converted. And then you have a few other people, but Philip is one of those that is listed there. And then Acts chapter 8, persecution breaks out in Jerusalem. The church is scattered. I like to compare it to like when you go bowling, the bowling ball hits the pins, and they go flying all over. That's what happened to the church in Jerusalem, because persecution broke out. And we may see that as a very negative thing, and I'm sure that the church saw that as a very negative thing. How many see persecution as a negative thing? Okay? Yeah, especially when you're the one that's being persecuted. All right? But what God did is he used that to send a Philip to Samaria. Okay? He used it to send other people to other regions so that the gospel would go beyond Jerusalem to the other parts of the world. Isn't that interesting? And you can see the map here that Chris put up. So here is where Jerusalem is at. All right? And so this is where Philip was ministering to people, the widows, and all of a sudden persecution happens, so he ends up in Samaria. And he starts preaching there, and people get saved, and they have Peter and John come down, and some really great things happen in early part of Acts chapter 8 when Philip is down there. They call him Philip the Evangelist. And then in our story, he's going to go all the way, he's going to take the south road down to Gaza, and this is where he's going to meet up with what is called the Ethiopian eunuch, all right? So, before we read this, let's bow our heads in prayer and just invite God's presence here. Father, we thank you for this day, dear God, and I pray that you would just speak to us in these moments we have. We thank you for the Word of God, which is alive, it is active within us, and we give you the thanks and the praise. In your name we ask. Amen. I'm going to read this whole thing, starting in verse 26 of Acts chapter 8, and then we're going to come back and pull out some principles. It says, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Go to the south road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.'" So I showed you on the map. So from Jerusalem to Gaza, he's going to go take that south road. So he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians. This man, where's Ethiopia? North Africa, right? South of Israel, but North Africa. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship and was on his way home sitting in his chariot, reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." One translation says, "Overtake it." In other words, catch up to it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and the man reading Isaiah, the prophet. So I think Philip would have been recruited by Doan to be on the track program, okay? "All right, do you understand what you're reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" It's kind of like a cue there, isn't it? Yeah, right? Do you understand? Okay, how can I? Okay, verse 32. Then the eunuch was reading this passage of Scripture. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb before the shearer is silent. He did not open up his mouth, and in his humiliation he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. That's found in Isaiah chapter 52 and 53. Then the eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or somebody else?" Then Philip began the very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. So, you know, this eunuch is asking him the questions, and so the door's open. He's just sharing. Verse 36, and as they traveled along the road, they came to some water. The eunuch says, "Look, here's water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave orders for the chariot to stop. They both, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water. Philip baptized him. And then it says that as he came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away. So what I don't know is if it's kind of like, he was there 1 minute and he was gone the next. Or it's just kind of like, okay, my time is done, and off he went. Quick discipleship class, I guess. And then Philip, however, appeared in another place and traveled preaching the gospel in towns in Syria. So he kind of had this evangelistic ministry. So let's look at some things here. And you can follow along in your program and write in some of these. There's going to be a little more points than normal, but I think you can. First of all, we must recognize God's signals. Recognize God's signals. How many have been to an escape room? How many have been to an escape room? All right. We went, was it for my birthday? That's where we went. We went to an escape room, and we got out just in the nick of time. We were maybe like a few seconds late, but she gave us mercy. We figured it out. But an escape room, you go into this room, they lock the door, and you have to try to figure out a way to get out. Now, there's a way to get out, but you have to follow the clues. There's hints along the way. And you just have to kind of work your way through it, right? And so it's a process. Now, if I was to go a second time, I would probably do a little bit better than the first time. Why? Because I've had some experience doing it. I know what to look for, right? Now, the kids probably did better than I did, all right? So we have to recognize God's signals. So there's some, we're going to give you some verbiage here, just some terms of some signals that God gives us. The first one is called a nudge. Okay, a nudge is when God gives us direction. So God nudges Philip. He says, "Hey, I want you to take the south road to Gaza." He doesn't tell him what he's supposed to do, doesn't clue him in any other way. He just says, "I want you to go that way." And so Philip goes that way. He goes on his way to Gaza. All right, and then he sees this. He kind of connects with this Ethiopian eunuch. And as he's kind of putting, oh man, this is an important guy, all of a sudden God nudges him again and says, "Hey, I want you to run up along his chariot and talk," and just doesn't tell him anything else. He just says, "I want you to run up and catch up with his chariot." You know? Pretty cool. That's a nudge. So God may speak to our life and say, you might not say, "Hey, I want you to go talk to that person," but he may say, "Hey, I want to give you a nudge." It's directional, saying, "I want you to go there or here." Okay? All right. And then Isaiah hears him reading the book of Isaiah, and he asks him the question, "Do you understand what you are reading?" This is called a clarifying bump. In other words, the question clarifies and confirms the person's need. Okay, so Philip is thinking, you know, this must be the guy, but I don't know what the deed is. And so he says, "Do you understand what you are reading?" You know, because if he understood what he was reading, then Philip would be kind of like a know-it-all, right? Okay. He didn't want to assume. He goes, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He says, "No. How can I unless somebody explains it to me?" So that's kind of like the open door. It's kind of like, huh, I guess God has me. I'm understanding why God has me here. Okay? Because Philip knew what it meant, right? He knew how it connected with Christ. So I want to give you some types of signals here. The first one is a nudge. That's when heaven gets our attention and provides direction. Now, you may have Jesus come down himself and speak to you. But I would say more likely you're going to hear the voice of God's Spirit. It's going to be a voice, and it's going to say, "Hey, take the south road instead of the north road today." You know? I don't know. I don't know how God is going to speak to you. He may even send an angel. Okay? but it's that nudge. Secondly is a cue. That's where a person reveals the need within the person that you think God is maybe talking to you about. Okay, there's reveals a need. So he's running up alongside the chariot, and he hears the guy reading the book of Isaiah, right? That was a cue, all right? He's starting to see the need. Third is the clarifying bump, and that is where you use a question to clarify. So Philip says, do you understand what you're reading? And the man says, no, all right? So a nudge comes from God, a cue comes from the other person, a bump, clarifying bump, comes from the other person, all right? Now there's two other ones. The fourth one is the spirit prompt. That's where God gives insight into how we are to deliver what God is wanting us to deliver, the miracle. In this case, it was a miracle of salvation, right? He was showing this eunuch how he could know Christ as his Lord and his Savior. God gave Philip wisdom, there we go, how to explain Isaiah 52 and 53 in a way that this man could understand it. And then go on his way, and how to be baptized in water. Okay, so the Spirit helped him out in that. And I think, you know what, the Spirit can help us too. It's kind of like we see the need at times. We probably have seen the need, right? And we sense, oh, God is working here, and we kind of freeze and think, okay, what am I supposed to do? There's a need, and God's wanting to work through me. We can kind of sense it. It's kind of like, okay, what do I do, right? And that's where the Spirit can help us. You know what, and I think if you make a mistake, God is not going to have any patience with you. You're out. Am I right? I think if you make a mistake, I think God is going to be more than gracious. I think he would rather us take some risks than not take any risk at all. Amen? The last one is the fear alert. All of a sudden, you're driving down the road and all the red lights come on and go, beep, 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 right? And that's what happens. Sometimes we sense God is moving and the fear alert comes on and we're in new territory. We've never done this before. And the fear indicators come on and say, stop! All right? Fear is a gift from God. Did you know that? It's to protect us from danger, right? If we see a lion out in our backyard, now we're not going to see a lion, but we may see a mountain lion. Okay, if you see a mountain lion in the backyard, fear should kind of rise up within you, and you should probably get someplace where they can't get you, right? Or have the rifle handy, okay? But fear is there to protect us, right? But sometimes fear also keeps us from what God wants us to do. And so whenever that fear alert comes up, we have to sort through, is this of God or is this common sense, right? It could be either or. And so you have to be able to sort through that and to learn from that and say, God, if this is of you, you need to give me the faith to trust you in this. Does that make sense? We have to recognize the signals. So you leave today and you go to work, you go to Walmart, you go to shopping, you go to the park, whatever you're doing, ask God as you begin a day, saying, God, right, I'm available for your grace and mercy to flow through me today to deliver a miracle to somebody's life today, whether it's a word of encouragement, whether it's to pray for them, whatever their need may be, whether it's financial, physical, maybe it's just they need hope. I just was looking at the news last night, and so our country has been kind of on the news lately has been the death of some very famous people, right? How did they die? Suicide. And they said the death rate, the suicide rate of people 50 and 60 in America is really at the highest level it's ever been. What does that tell you? People have money, they have fame, but what don't they have? They don't have Jesus. They don't have hope. There's something there, right? Because they have the wealth, they have the fame that everybody in America seems to be seeking after, but still there's a hole in their heart. And they say life isn't worth living. And so we have to recognize the signs that if, as we're going through life, saying, God, can you deliver your grace, your mercy, your power through my life to be a blessing to somebody today? And to recognize those nudges. And some of us are very so, you know, we're just tunnel vision and we got our list of things to do today. And there's nothing wrong with that, okay? But to when if we can begin the day by saying, God, I'm available today, and if we can have that in the back of our minds, so that all of a sudden, boom, God nudges us. It's kind of like, why do you want me to go there? Instead of questioning God and saying, God, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to break out of my routine, God. I like my ruts, right? Instead of doing that, saying, God, okay, you know, if God is sending us, that I follow that. And I may not know all the answers, but maybe when I get there, all of a sudden you're going to see the Ethiopian eunuch, and you go, oh, God, what's up here? And all of a sudden he begins to show the need, to reveal the need, and it's kind of like then we kind of go with God, okay? All right, so we need to recognize the signals. Secondly, we need to follow five key steps. We must follow five key steps. All right, and we'll go through these here together. First of all, we have to identify the person that God is leading us to. And we see that in our story. He gets on the road, and he's going along. All of a sudden, he realizes, hey, it must be the eunuch that I'm supposed to talk with. And he starts putting two and two together and realizes, okay, this is who God wants me to speak to. Identify the person that God, maybe it's going to be obvious at the beginning, maybe it's not, and say, God, okay, I sense that this is where you want me right now at this place, but I don't know who you want me to minister today. You have to identify the person that God has nudged, okay? Secondly, you have to isolate the need. What is the need? How does God want me to pray, or how does God want me to bless somebody that day? We have to isolate the need. And so Philip hears him reading the scripture. He asks the question. Boom, the need becomes pretty evident. He needs to know God. He needs to know the scripture. And so that was the need there, okay? For somebody else, it may be maybe they just need somebody to pray with them for a financial miracle in their life, or maybe they need hope, right? They need a word of encouragement. You know, these people that took their own life, what if God would have sent somebody? And maybe God did send somebody and they didn't sense the nudge. Didn't sense the nudge. And so they didn't get in on God speaking to them. Maybe God was wanting to deliver a miracle through them. Next, open the heart. The eunuch's heart was pretty open. Sometimes you may sense the need, you know, that God is speaking to that person. But there's been times where the door's not open, right? The heart's not open. And you can force your way through it. That's not usually a good thing. So I think usually with trust and that relationship, God is able to speak to their heart. But you have to open up that heart and hear God's heart. And then number four is deliver the miracle. So what is God wanting to do through that person, through you, to minister to that person? Deliver. It may be a word of encouragement. Maybe it is to help them out financially. We'll talk a little more about that in 2 weeks. Maybe sometimes to help somebody out financially can be a strain on us, right? I'm just going to be honest. But you know what? If we actually budgeted in our monthly or weekly budget that we set aside a little bit of money that say, God, this is your money, and you'd guide and direct me to be a blessing to somebody this week, and I'll just be, you know, available whenever I sense that need, that bump from you, that nudge, that I'll know that I'm supposed to bless that person. Okay, so we deliver the miracle. In Philip's case, he helped the eunuch understand the scripture. And he showed him how to put his faith in Christ, and then he helped him be baptized in water. And then the last step is transfer the credit. Who's responsible for the miracle? God is, isn't he? We cannot do a miracle, but we can be the delivery person. That's pretty cool, isn't it? God can pass that miracle through our life and through his power. Be a blessing to somebody else. Over the last couple weeks, we've given a lot of illustrations of that. But we can be used by God to pray, to minister to somebody, to give them hope. Those are all things that we can do as God's Spirit flows through us. We can minister. I know most of us believe in miracles. We kind of did a show of hands the one day. But believing in miracles and expecting God to do those in our life on a weekly basis or a daily basis. And by miracles, it could be something like a healing. It could be a financial provision for somebody. But it could be even simpler than that, that God wants to just give us a word for somebody, just a word of encouragement or to know Christ. Maybe they're searching for Christ. I gave the illustration last week of Wilkinson, the author, where he had the guy join him on the plane, and he was hoping for a quiet plane ride, and he called him Rainbow Metal Man because he had dyed hair, and he had piercings all over him, and he was half drunk when he came into the plane. And so the author was not really excited about that, right? But what he didn't realize is that this man had lost a dear friend the day before, and he couldn't sleep that night. He says, God, if you're real, send somebody, a priest, to me that can show me how to know God. Isn't that pretty cool? God heard his prayer. And the nudging was there, but the author kind of felt like, you know what, this guy is disturbing my comfortable ride, right? But God had other plans, and so eventually the conversation happened, and he was able to tell them about God. God, I believe, wants to partner with us and to show us his power and his might. And he wants to work through us. And as I said earlier, I believe, what do you think gives God more glory and more happiness? Doing a miracle on his own or doing a miracle through you and I? Through us. Yeah. I think as a parent, is it more enjoyable for me to do something for them or for them to discover because I've trained them and I've taught them and they discover how to do something on their own? What's more enjoyable for me? It's when they've learned that process and they're doing it on their own, isn't it? It's kind of like, yeah, they get it. And see, I think that delights God's heart when he is able to display his power through our lives to minister to the world around us. Could God send an angel? Absolutely. And there's times he does send an angel. Can God do it on his own power? Absolutely, he can. But he can also display his power and his miraculous power through our lives. And I believe he wants to do that. But we have to say, God, I'm available. Send me. And then we have to recognize his cues. You know what? And it's a little bit like riding our bike. We may be kind of clueless. The clues are there. The hints are there. And it's kind of like we go back and go, ah, they were there all the time and I didn't see them. Right? And then we kick ourselves and we think, oh, God can't use me. And that's not what God wants us to do. He just wants us to walk with him, to learn and to develop our ability to hear his voice and to walk with him. Amen? Amen. I'm just believing God that just for some testimonies in the coming weeks of how God is going to work in our lives. Next Sunday's Father's Day. We're going to talk about that. And then we're going to do one more final message on You Were Born for This. And then the plan is on July 1st is to have a missionary back that has been here several times before, Stephen Kurt and his wife Bailey, to speak. And we're going to do an emphasis in the evening just on the Holy Spirit and praying with people on that. So you can be just thinking about that, even preparing your own heart, what God is going to do. That's the plan anyway, so what we're looking for. So we don't have any musicians to come forward here this morning, but I am going to invite Victor and Yolanda and Christy, if you'd come to the front for prayer. They're going to cue up the song there that I've asked, and I'm just going to lead us in a prayer. And they're just going to play a song quietly. It's called Here As in Heaven. I just want you to reflect on the words, but would you just take a few moments just to reflect upon the message? What is God speaking to you this morning? And you can have it a little bit softer than that. And what is God saying to you this morning? What does he want to do in your heart and in your life? Amen? So I'm just going to lead us in a word of prayer. Father, this morning, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love. And Father, I just pray that you can speak to us. And Father, even sometimes just as we are learning to follow you and to recognize the voice of your Spirit in our life, God, just help us in this process. If we need training wheels, give us the training wheels that we need so that we can, eventually we can branch out and we can know your voice better and to know your cues, your nudges, your when you are speaking to us and wanting to deliver and move through our lives, we pray. Father, we just ask this in your name. Hallelujah. Just take the next few moments just to let God speak to you. If you have a prayer request, if you would come forward, and we'll just take a few moments, and then we'll give a final prayer this morning. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that we have this treasure in jars of clay. What's the treasure? It's Christ and His Holy Spirit, right? So you're the jar of clay, and God's presence is within your life, His Spirit. You have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We're hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may be revealed in our body. And my prayer for you this week is that in your weakness that God displays His power. Amen? And I know sometimes we think we are weakness. We see all of our failures. We see all of our inabilities. But we have to focus on God's power that flows through us. Because that's ultimately all that matters. All we have to do is be willing. The power comes from Him, not from us. Does that make sense? Amen. Father, I pray that you would be with your people this morning. As we are salt and light in this world, as we leave this place, we go all over this area, Saline County and beyond, Father. And Father, I just pray you would display your glory, your presence, that we are jars of clay, that you desire to shine your glory out through, Lord God. And I believe that you want to use us in incredible ways to share the light of Christ, to share hope, to share encouragement, to share Christ and how to know Him. And Father, I pray that you would just go with us this week. Help us to recognize your nudges. Help us to recognize when you are working in our lives. Give us ears to hear the Holy Spirit and what He is saying to us and to His church. And we give you the thanks. We ask it in the precious name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Praise God. Amen. You can turn the music back up. Greet one another. And for the third Sunday in a row, you can say you were born for this. Shake a hand and... okay? Just in case they forgot from last week, all right? God bless you this morning.